Good to be with you today. And just, you guys look good. You know that, right? You look good. Hey, tell the people around you that they look good. Just turn and say, hey, you look good. If they don't look good, tell them they look good. It's okay. If they don't look good, close your eyes and say, you look good. And then you're not technically lying. But it's good to be with you. So last week we were down in Florida, and I just want to say we have some special guests. Speaking of Florida, today we have a couple special guests with us, Pastor Deb and Brian Crabtree right over here. Can you wave at us? They are visiting us today from Florida, and if you're new, if you haven't been here in a while, Pastor Deb retired from ministry after years and years of ministry, but about 22 years here at the church, and she retired back in October, and they moved down to Florida. So it's great to have you guys back. Thanks for coming back, and thanks for choosing this church instead of another one when you come back. That would have been really hurtful. But hey, I want to, before we jump into God's word, I just want to say something really quick. I really have felt this year that God has laid on my heart kind of a vision for our church, and I've shared this with you already this year, but I want to share it again, and that's that God wants us to bear fruit. God wants us to share our faith with others. And so I want to tell you a little bit about this last weekend. I went to Florida for a wedding, and it was actually the wedding of a guy who was in the young adult ministry here at the church, one of my good friends, and he was in the young adult ministry with me. But last week, so I almost always, when I go on vacation, try to find a place that I can go worship in person, and then I'll watch our service later, because there's just something different to me about, I love to be there, but it just didn't work out last week. I could go all the way through it, but anyway, I watched the service online, I worshiped with you, but then something really cool happened. This guy texted all of us on Sunday morning and said, hey, I'd really love for us all to gather on the beach and to pray together before I get married. And that was a cool thing for me, because this isn't a guy who grew up in church. This wasn't, you know, but for him to take that step. And so five or six of us gathered on the beach at about 4:15, and the ceremony was going to start at 5, and we gathered and we just prayed, and we kind of had a little, I mean, we didn't sing, but we had a little worship service right there, and we cried. Surprise. And we gathered together and just prayed together. But here's what I want to say to you is that that guy was brought by a friend who grew up here in the church. When he was in eighth grade, they became friends, and then he was invited, and when he was a young adult, he came and went on a mission trip with us and then continued to be in church. So I just want you to hear this, because I really, listen, the church is not meant to be grow. The church is not meant to grow based on me or anybody up here. That God's plan for our church is that every single one of us will be passionate about our faith in Christ and will share it with the people around us. And because 10, 15 years ago, one of the teens of our church shared their faith and invited a friend. Last week, I got to have a worship service at 4:15 on the beach with a follower of Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. Listen, I want you to know this, that God wants to change the lives and the hearts of the people around you, and God wants to use your testimony and your witness. You don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to have the perfect thing to say. Just be faithful and obedient to share your faith. That could be sharing your story. That could be a simple, hey, come to church with me. I love seeing our teen group grow, because our teens are inviting other teens. And adults, we need to catch up to that. We need to be inviting our friends. So make sure, be praying, especially leading up to Easter. Easter is a time when everybody's thinking about going to church. So be praying, be thinking, God, who do you want me to invite? Who do you want me to share my faith with? And I'm telling you, maybe 15 years from now, we'll be talking about a worship service on a beach or something like that. It was because you were obedient. You were faithful to share your faith. So let's bear fruit this year. We're going to continue in our series, The Journey to the Cross. And so in the Lenten season, if you're newer to the church, Lent is a season where we kind of journey with Jesus to the cross. We walk through this season of sacrifice and surrender, and we walk with Jesus to the cross, because in Luke chapter 9, verse 23 and 24, Jesus says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. Now, it didn't say here, whoever wants to be my disciple can take up their cross. It says, whoever wants to be my disciple must take up their cross and follow me. So here's the deal. If we're going to walk with Jesus, if we're going to call ourselves Christians, if we're going to follow Jesus, we have to walk with him. And that's the beauty of this season, is we're walking through the journey to the cross. We understand that we have to die to our own selfish desires and our own plans. We have to follow Jesus. And so we're on the journey to the cross. Last week, Pastor Dave Crawford came. And he's Dr. Dave Crawford, Pastor Dave. He's the assistant superintendent here on the district. I love that we're a part of a district, and I'm glad we got to hear from Pastor Crawford, who has ministered and been a pastor for years and years. But he talked about the desert experiences. He talked about Jesus that after his baptism and when he was, you know, coming off this big moment, that he was ushered into a desert experience and that he went through the wilderness and had this time of struggle. And Pastor Crawford told us that we're all going to go through seasons of struggle. If you haven't gone through a season of struggle or a desert season, I hate to tell you this, but it's coming. It's coming. We all go through those experiences. And so Pastor Crawford last week left us with kind of three tools. The first was prayer, the second is fasting, and the third is scripture that we have that we can use in those seasons of struggle, of difficulty. And so here's the deal. It's kind of weird to preach about a subject like lament, because there may only be 10 or 15 people in here right now who are dealing with this. But here's what I want you to know, is that God's word today can speak to you, even if you're on the mountaintop. God's word can prepare you. God's word can open your heart so that when you do go through a season of struggle, you're ready. And my prayer is this, that those of you that are in the desert right now, that you're struggling, you're really facing difficulty, that today God would speak to you and that you would surrender your heart completely. But here's the deal, if you're not in that place, my prayer is that God will teach you and that you'll put some of this away so that when you do go through a tough time, you'll remember God's word. And so last week, Pastor Crawford talked about Jesus and in the desert, and he talked about that Jesus, the first thing was that Jesus prayed. What do you think those prayers were like? Think about this. Jesus was fully human, and he spent 40 days there in the desert. I mean, this wasn't a vacation. This wasn't a great time. This was a struggle. And we see in Scripture over and over again that lament, and if you've never heard the word lament, we'll open it up today, but lament is voicing your struggles. It's praying. It's offering your struggles, your doubt, your anger, all of those things to God. And Jesus did this. Now, we don't know exactly what he prayed there, but we do know this, that on the night that he was arrested and in the Garden of Gethsemane, he knelt and he was in a deep place of struggle and he prayed, God, if at all possible, please take this cup from me. In other words, don't make me go to the cross. We know that on Jesus' journey to the cross, he fully knew what was coming, and he was struggling inside. It says that as he prayed, he was sweating drops of blood. That's how tough it was for him. And he prayed, he lamented, he said, Father, if there's any way for this to go different, take this cup from me. Another time was when he was on the cross. One of his last words were, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus felt the full weight of the cross and of abandonment, and he cried out to God in lament. He said, why have you left me? Why have you forsaken me? And so lament is not just something we're supposed to do. It's something that Jesus practiced. Today we're going to read Psalm 13, and this is the lament of David. So King David wrote many of the Psalms, and Psalm 13 is one of the laments. So would you stand with me And here's the deal, we stand because we believe that God speaks through his word. So my prayer today is that God will speak to you through his word. And my prayer is that maybe this is something that God is gonna, you know, put in the back of your mind for a later time. But God works through his word. So I'll read and you can follow along on the screen, Psalm 13. This is from David for the director of music, and it says, "How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death, and my enemy will say, 'I've overcome him,' and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me." All right, that's confusing. Sit down and we'll work through this. This is some confusing stuff, isn't it? And it's even more confusing when you think about the fact that this is written by King David. And so if we were to zoom out a little bit, so we're in Psalm 13, if we were to zoom out kind of to the bigger picture of the Psalms, then we could zoom back into Psalm 23, which most of you have probably heard before if you don't have it memorized, is, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. My cup overflows." I know I'm not giving you the whole thing, I'm just giving you pieces of it. But that's David saying, "God, you're with me everywhere." We could zoom out again. We could zoom back in. And do you guys remember January? We looked at Psalm 139. That was a psalm of David. "Lord, you have searched me, you know me, you created my inmost being." It was this beautiful psalm of this intimacy with God. And then we zoom out and we go back into 13 and we hear, "How long, Lord? Where have you gone? What's going on? Why am I suffering?" And so we see this lament, and here's what I think is beautiful about Scripture, is that God is not shielding you. This isn't sugar-coated so that you think everything is perfect and you only know how to behave when things are going well. The truth is, you are going to go through some desert experiences. King David went through difficulty. Jesus went through difficulty. And so we don't just learn how to worship in the good, we learn how to lament in the struggle. How long, Lord? How long have you forgotten me? David's all over the place, but let's be honest, sometimes we are too in our lives. So I want to talk about lament, three parts of lament that are important for us to understand. And the first is this, is that lament, this prayer, the how long, God, have you left me? What's going on? This cry out to God, lament is worship. This is true worship. Lament is opening our hearts to God in honesty and surrender. So we often think of worship as the good moments where we've all got our hands raised and we're singing, you know, I'll see you do it again. You're so faithful. You're good. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. We think of that as worship. But listen, just as much as that is worship are the moments that we are at our deepest struggle and we cry out to God. And we say, "God, where did you go? What's happening?" David is worshiping through lament. See, we talk about dying to self. We have been taught in our culture that we have to guard ourselves. We've been taught in our culture that we have to shield ourselves from, in fact, even in the church, one of the failures of the church, if I could say that, is that we think that we have to be perfect. And we have to pretend to be perfect even when we're struggling. And so probably today you've walked past someone and you've said, "Hey, how's it going?" And they've said, "I'm fine." And probably today you've asked that question and someone said they've been fine and they are really deeply hurting inside. We never know because we've been taught in our culture to guard ourselves. Lament is opening our hearts and pouring out our deepest struggles to God. See, when you really love someone, you want to know the truth. Every once in a while, Megan will come in and she'll say, "Hey, one of the boys, I think they're really struggling. Could you go talk to them?" Yeah, I love my kids. Man, if they're going through something at school, I want to hear about it. If they're hurting, I want to hear about it. And so I'll go in their room and I'll sit down and I'll say, "Hey, how you doing? What's going on? Are you struggling?" And almost every time it's the same. "Nope, I'm fine. I'm good. That's what we've been taught to do, is to shield ourselves. And it's like we feel like we can't get vulnerable. But lament is opening our hearts to God. Sometimes our reaction when we're struggling is that we want to shut off. You can, I think you know this, you can come into a worship service and not worship because you're not in the mood or you're not feeling right. And so my youngest, Jack, we've all, you know, one of my favorite things about Jack is you don't have to ask how he feels about something. He shows you. And so, you know, after church today, well, not today, but most days, we'll say, hey, where do we want to go to lunch? And we'll inevitably end up at El Cap down the street. And Jack doesn't love that. And so Jack sometimes, and he's done this since he was a little kid, Jack sometimes, when he doesn't like what's going to happen, he'll fold his arms and he'll stick his bottom lip out and make sure that we know that he's not happy. I used to just grab it and be like, give me that lip, you know? But here's the deal. Sometimes we do that with God. I can tell you right now that there have been times that I've come into a worship service and I've kind of been like Jack, where I don't want to do this right now. Lament is opening our heart in full surrender and worship. 2 weeks ago, we looked at 1 Peter chapter 5 that says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Listen, God loves you deeply. And if you're struggling, he doesn't need you to hide it. He doesn't need you to pretend. He already knows. But he wants you to open your heart and surrender. So Psalm 13, we see it. We see David struggling. He says, how long, Lord? How long will you forget me? Will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts? I mean, does this sound familiar? Have you ever thought these things in your head? How long do I have to wrestle with these things? How long will I have sorrow in my heart? How long is my enemy going to triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death, and my enemy will say, I've overcome him. My foes will rejoice when I fall. This is David just getting gut-level honest with God and saying, I feel like you've left me. I feel like my enemies are taking over. And so lament is this. It's worship is lament. When you're struggling, when you're feeling that, we need to bring it to God. That brings intimacy. When you share your heart, when you surrender your heart, when you share your struggles, sometimes, Megan always thinks I'm mad at her. She says it's just my face. It's what it looks like. You know, I'm always mad. I'm not mad. Sometimes, you know, people will think that I'm mad or something. But listen, if I am, and occasionally, maybe I am upset about something. You know what like I told you, we're kind of programmed. You know what I like to do? I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. Does anything get solved when I don't talk about my frustrations? Or when you don't talk about your frustrations? No! But the second we're able to open up, all of a sudden there's room for healing and growth. Lament brings us closer to God. He already knows what you're struggling with, but opening our heart and surrender brings intimacy. The second thing is lament is an act of trust. You have to trust him to share your struggles. And then the third thing I want you to hear is that lament is the right way to handle your doubts and your struggles and your anger. We have a lot of different ways that when we get mad, we solve things or we try to solve things. And these are just a few that I'll list, and you can think of others in your head, but some people, when they get upset or when they deal with difficulty, they drink or they find escapes. I remember on a teen trip when I was a youth pastor, a girl just stopped eating for the week, and I said, You can't not eat. And she said, this is what I do when I get upset. So you know, that's not healthy. So sometimes we do things, sometimes some people hurt themselves. That's their response to struggle. Some people lash out at others. When they're hurting, they hurt other people. Some people just isolate themselves completely or make poor decisions. Well, if this is going bad, then I'm going to do this. And we have all these different ways that we can deal with our struggles and our anxieties and our hurts. The right way is to worship God and to surrender to him fully. The best place we can go with our anxieties, our struggles, and our doubts is to the God that loves us and cares for us. The only place that we can find a real solution, the only place that we have real salvation. So if you're struggling, open your heart. Go to God. The second thing I want you to know about lament is this, that in lament, your feelings are not always reality. This is important. This is really important because the devil is really good at placing things in our head. And we see this with David, that he's crying out and he says, God, you've forgotten about me. The truth is, God has not forgotten about David. God has not turned against David. God loves David. But the enemy is good at convincing us that things are true that just aren't true. So here's what I want you to know, that if you're in a season of struggle and doubt and questioning and anger, just because you feel something doesn't make it true. What we need to do is we need to lament, we need to worship, we need to surrender so that God can show us the truth. I remember a few years ago, I got a text. I was just sitting in my house and I got a text from someone. I mean, it was a book. And it talked about how they don't understand why I hate them so much and why I never want to talk to them and all that. And I just was reading it like in tears. Can I just say something to you as your pastor? There is not a person in this world, not a person in this world that I hate. There is not a person in this world that I do not want to talk to. I promise you that's not who I am. But here's the deal. The devil's really good at convincing us that something's true that's not. And when you're struggling, your feelings are not always the truth. There was another moment. It was a few years ago. Dated a girl in college. Her brother's a Nazarene pastor. I was in a pastor's group and he was in there. It was kind of awkward. And so I went up to him. I thought, you know, we got to talk about this. So I went up to him and I said, hey, man, you know, I know about all that, you know, history stuff. And, you know, I hope there's not any hard. And he said, no, I don't like you. At least I knew the truth, right? All we can do is be honest. It's cool. We're friends. It's all good. But here's the deal. Our reaction, our response sometimes is to shield off. God wants us to open our heart so that he can show us the truth. Because our feelings are not always reality. And so one thing we do is we pray. But something that Pastor Dave shared last week that I think is really good is that it's not just prayer, but there's fasting and then there's scripture. And that's really important, that scripture is important, that if you're not hearing from God, if you feel like you're not hearing from God, you have God's word that can speak to you anytime. God has given us his truth in scripture. So we see from David that he says, God, you've forsaken me, you've left me. But we also see from David later on that he knows that's not true. We have scripture. Craig Rochelle, if you haven't read this book, I want to encourage you to get this book and read it. It's called Winning the War for Your Mind by Craig Rochelle. It is a great book. And in it, he talks about those lies and those deceptions that the devil tells us. And he says, when you have something like that, if the enemy's telling you that you're not good enough or that God has left you or God doesn't love you, then what you need to do is you need to go find scripture, truth, that tells you the truth. And then anytime you feel, hey, God doesn't love me, God's left me, take the truth, the scripture, and say it, and believe it, and know it, because God has given us his word. And so we see in that the key to lament is remembering who God is and what God's done. And the key is to know God. We have his word. If you're ever feeling disconnected, if you're ever feeling in that desert place, if you're feeling like you're not hearing from God, go to his word. God will speak to you through his word. That's why we stand together, because we believe that God speaks through his word. The key is knowing him, remembering what he's done, remembering who he is. And so we see in Psalm 13, David starts with, oh, and by the way, this is true of all of the lament in scripture. It's uniform throughout, that when there's lament, this happens in the prophets, this happens in the Psalms, this happens all over, that when there's lament, it always circles back around to the truth and to faith. So Psalm 13, verse 5 says, he says, are you going to leave me? How long are you going to abandon me? How long? But then in verse 5, he says, but I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise because he has been good to me. So what we see in Psalm 13 is David standing here saying, God, why have you left me? But then he remembers, God hasn't left him. Even when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I am with you. When you think your enemies are overtaking you, I've prepared a table in the presence of your enemies. My cup overflows. And so David remembers and has faith. See, true lament, while it's the struggle, while it's opening and surrendering our doubts and our struggles, true lament is based, it's grounded in faith in God. Here's the deal, we just sang it, that you never fail. I've seen you move, I'll see you move again. When we lament, when we cry out to God, see, why would we cry out to God if we knew nothing was gonna happen? David cries out because he knows that God is faithful. That's the difference between complaining and lamenting. Lament's worship. Complaining is just saying something to say it. Lament is worshiping, knowing that God is faithful. I saw this in a commentary this week. I thought it was good. Anyone can complain, and practically everyone does, but Christians can lament. They can talk to God about their condition, and they can ask him to change things because they have a relationship with him. To lament is to be utterly honest before God, whom our faith tells us we can trust. So lament is worship. And I told you at the beginning, maybe some of you aren't there. Maybe this is for another time. File this away and understand that God is faithful. Understand that lament is okay. God is big enough for your doubts and your struggles. God is big enough for your anger and your frustration. God is big enough for that. He wants to hear it. That's worship. But also understand that your feelings aren't always reality. And if you're lamenting, ground it in faith. So here's the deal. We're going to respond to God's word today. And as we respond, maybe some of you are in that desert place. Worship team, you guys can come on up. Maybe some of you are in that desert place. Maybe you've been in a season that you've just felt struggle. You felt abandoned. You felt hurt. Maybe you're going through something physically or emotionally that you feel lost. And if you're really being honest today, if you really open up your heart, you may not with each other, but if you really open up your heart to God, your prayer would sound like this. How long, God? Why, God? When is this going to end, God? Where are you at, God? Listen, if that's where you're at today, that's okay. Worship him. Open your heart and ask those questions. Some of you today may be struggling with a world that seems lost and is lost. Some of you may be looking around, maybe you see what's happening in the world around you. I do sometimes, I see things and I just think, what in the world, where is God at in this? Listen, today if you wanna lament on behalf of our world, our country, our city, our families, that's worship. But I'm not trying to create anything today. I'm not trying to force you into lament. Today, what I want to ask is this, that as we continue to worship, that you open your heart. And maybe today you're in a really good place. Praise him. Praise him for his faithfulness. Maybe you got some questions and some doubts. Lay them at his feet. This is a time to worship and to surrender. And so as we move into this time of worship, there's four different prayer stations you can move to, and I just want to encourage you to move freely. You don't have to stand at your seat. You can get up. You can go over here. Right over here, there's a table, and it's a table for prayer, intercessory prayer, where there are going to be people here that if you feel like you need someone to lift you up, maybe today you don't even feel like you can pray because you're struggling so much. There will be people there that will pray for you. that will lift you up in prayer. Maybe today you do need to take some stuff and just surrender it. We have a couple altars over here at the cross. You can just come and you can pray and you can express whatever's on your heart. Right in the back middle, there's a prayer station on lament if you want a little bit deeper experience there. And then there's a couple tables in the back and one up top for communion. If you want to take communion today, you can take that. Just as we sing, I want to encourage you, everybody stand with me. I don't care if you're in the desert, if you're on the mountaintop. Today, the response is to open your heart, be completely honest and open with God. And I promise you that if you do, our God is faithful. Our God is here. And He wants to show you the truth. Let's respond. Father, I pray that you would lead us and guide us as we sing, as we worship. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to just feel free to respond. If we need to come to an altar, if anybody just needs to lay something down that's heavy, Lord, help us to be obedient to do that. Lord, if we want to take communion, if we want to have someone pray with us, Lord, whatever it is, help us each to open our hearts now. Get rid of all the distractions, Lord, all the feelings that we got to guard ourselves or we got to put up a shield, Lord. Help us to just open ourselves to you and surrender right now. Lord, my prayer is that each and every one of us will truly worship you now, will respond to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Move however you want, whatever you want to do, prayer, communion, whatever. Let's worship together.